Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, park fans. We're a podcast for theme park fans. We're here every week talking about things in the theme park world. I'm Vex. Sorry I've not been here for a couple of weeks. It's been a busy few weeks. One of the items on the agenda for the past couple of weeks is today's episode, so we will get into that very shortly. I've also been over to Europa Park. As you probably know, I became a season pass holder this year, so that was my first trip of the year, and that was very exciting as well. But today we are going to be talking about the newest flat ride in the UK, the Mighty Evictus, which has opened at Blackpool Pleasure Beach. And I was lucky enough to be at the launch day. And I was the rose between the two thorns of my guests of today's show, or possibly the thorn between two roses, depending which way you look at it. Of course, Glenn Robertson, the notable stranger, who very kindly upgraded me to be his plus one on the day. So you can come on.
Oh, thank you very much. I've been on this podcast more than I've done scores now. So it's...
You have, I think. Yeah. This is number four, number five. I'm not sure. But yeah, you know, you're always welcome. And we're also joined by the lovely Alex Brinley, live from the Isle of Man. And you may remember him from our Christmas quiz episode where you were on Glenn's team. And you were also at the Evictus launch. You were, as I like to call them, the gob on a stick.
Yes, I was the gob on a stick. Thank you very much for bringing up the Christmas quiz again. It's a sore wound that's still weeping, but thank you very much.
Shut up about it. He won't shut up.
Do you know what? We were on the same team, Glenn.
I tell no lies. I couldn't let a potential query and point of order, which is now seemingly my catchphrase, go without. Just being helpful.
Yeah.
Do you know what? The best part about this is, Bex, that he's used that excuse in various different ways since the quiz, whenever we've met up and chatted to each other. I can't even remember what the question was now. I just know I still have to remain mad. I can't remember what it was for.
It was something about music. It was a hot ice song.
Oh, don't bring it back.
It was different on my computer than it was on Spotify.
Yeah. That was it. I remember now. Yes, yeah, thank you.
But yeah, I don't want to reopen those old wounds. If you haven't listened to the Christmas quiz episode, it might be June, but you know, a bit of festive spirit never goes amiss. You can find that in one of our previous episodes. I recommend you listen to it. It was very entertaining. It's lovely to get the band back together, to be honest. Yes. And I thought it would be great for us to chat about our experience at the Evictus launch and what we think of the ride and the overall day. We did actually do on the day, I don't know if they were short of people, but they asked us three to record a little chat about our thoughts on Evictus, which you can find on the Pleasure Beach YouTube channel. Not sure why they asked us, but they did. So we can kind of recreate that on Parkcast today. But if you haven't gone to see that, please check that out as well. So, Evictus, a huge Intamin gyroswing. It was announced last year that the Pleasure Beach were building one. I was thrilled when I heard it was going to be built. What was your reaction, Alex?
Do you know what? I was in two minds. I was thrilled that they were investing in a big new ride for the park. I openly admit I'm more of a coaster fanatic than a flat ride fanatic. But the Pleasure Beach hasn't got a huge number of flat rides. I say the Pleasure Beach, actually the UK generally doesn't seem to have huge numbers of flat rides. And I think the last one was Skyforce. I was the gob on the stick for that as well, from what I remember. So when this was opening, I thought, it's great they're investing. It's probably not going to be a ride that I'm going to like because, as we've all discussed, you know, the idea of any flat ride has been completely killed by me having to go on waltzes and it nearly killing me. So I always try and steer clear of flat rides. But I thought, I'll give it a go. And as it's sort of risen up from the ground and you see all the updates online and stuff like this, you think it's big. I mean, and it also, it seems to benefit from what the big one benefits from, which is that because of its surrounding environment, it almost appears bigger than it actually is.
Yeah.
Because if you've got like roller coasters like Shambhala at Porta Ventura, they're high, but they're out in the open. Whereas when you're on the big one in sort of like a town environment or you're tightly packed in, to have something so large in that sort of, I say crammed in park, and I mean that in terms of as a positive, that the experience on it is heightened. But I went on it, and for those who are intimidated by it, or the idea that it looks like it's going to churn your stomach or it's something you couldn't do, try it first, because it's the experience is out. I mean, the weightlessness at the top and the height is just out of this world. So, yeah, it turned my head. I went along to the opening expecting to smile. Yeah, it's brilliant. Oh, they've done a lovely job. Yeah, it's great. Flat ride enthusiasts will love it. Whereas actually I came away with a big smile on my face. So, yeah, it's turned my head.
Ah, excellent. And Glenn, I know we chatted because you got asked to do the music for it, clearly. I mean, yes. No one else is going to do it
default.
For the pleasure of it.
Default,
it's got to be the best. but you, I mean, as we've said on this podcast before, you're not a theme park enthusiast. You are.
No.
You tolerate theme parks and you enjoy a roller coaster, but you didn't even really know what an Intamin gyro swing was. So I remember sending you lots of POVs saying, watch this, so that you could kind of have an idea of what the ride would be like to help you do the score. And then obviously you had the backstory from Amanda, which we'll talk about. But you were convinced you were going to not like it at all.
I was convinced I was going to cry and hold your hand. Yeah.
Thankfully, it didn't come to that.
and it's funny, every time I've been to a theme park since it started, I couldn't get the scale. Even though you sent me loads of videos, I just couldn't get the scale. So every time I saw something remotely similar at a theme park, I would send you a photograph. Is it like this one? And he's like, no, Luff, it's not. nothing like that. And so I couldn't get a scale of it at all. And it's only when we saw it rising, we met at Manchester Piccadilly because both our trains were intercepting there. And so we don't live together or anything. We just planned to arrive majestically together.
We made an entrance.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Well, was Glenn standing underneath the clock with a carnation in his lapel? Back in the day, that would have been the romantic way to do it.
I think he had his holdall with him. No, it wasn't. It was your fancy
hold
suitcase.
All, excuse me. Yeah. Not you Interrailer or something. It was more tragic when we were leaving, Alex, and I was on the train. She was running down the platform waving.
Did she have a white hanky as well? Waving.
Yeah. And the conductor was like, "Oh, better go, miss." You know. So when I saw it in the flesh, it was when we went to Blackpool North and we got a taxi down to the boulevard.
Yeah, we were feeling flush.
Yeah, no, we weren't feeling flush because we didn't go on the tram. We were economising by going on in the taxi. And so, as we pulled alongside the Pleasure Beach and we could just see the top of the superstructure. And again, you know, you think, well, it's quite big. And then as the taxi pulled up outside the boulevard, it was testing. And then, yeah, that's when the butterflies really started. I wasn't keen. Everybody who'd been on it in the pre, the staff that I knew who had been on the test rides, I kept saying, do you feel like you're going to fall out? That was the only thing. I don't like the sensation of being held on the restraints. It's like, oh, God, you're going to kill me. Voltron. I got it. I just got it in there. I know I nearly swore, but not a full swear, so you're all right. On Voltron, when it does the thing where it's upside down for a prolonged amount of time, I hate that bit of it.
Yeah.
I don't like being held up. So when you were watching the videos and the people were what appeared to be semi-upside down, I'm thinking, oh, if you're being held on the restraints, I really don't like that. And I'd have broke small bones in your hand. And, but because there's nothing, once you're on, there's nothing you can do about it.
No, that's it. Once it starts.
Are you going to admit, Glenn, that the week before we were on holiday together and there was discussion about maybe bringing along some travel sickness pills for you?
Yes, because my previous experience of that, there's a small park near where I live called Geisel or Geiselwind, whichever way you want to call it. They have one, which I went on with my son 12 months ago, and it's a small one. And you face inwards, and it's probably nothing like...
No, if you saw it now, you'd be like, oh, yeah, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And, I felt ill. Oh, I really felt ill. And then my son went to like a travelling fair in in it's one of the biggest traveling for it's called Volksfest in Nuremberg, where you get the Olympic ring roller coaster and things like that. So it's, and you get these Dutch rides with these beautiful trucks, and it's like four trucks, and they build like a full size spin doctor there and things like that.
Yeah.
So they had something similar but smaller, and my son went on, and so we went to stand at the exit, and all you could see was a trail of sick. But he hadn't seen that, so he got on the ride with his mate. His mate barfed halfway through the ride. It was this little girl, well, not little girl, she was 12, 13, that obviously both my son and we were trying to, like, you know, yeah, we're brave and stuff. She barfed all over the top of her.
Oh.
And so he, and then my son survived to the exit, and then he barfed. And so we were like international rescue, giving tissues out to him and his friend and this girl we'd never met before, he'd never met before, to try and clear it up. So this was my experience of them. So, yeah, when I was away with Alex, not exclusively, there were other people there.
And why would that have been a problem anyway?
Why would that be a problem? Yeah, I would have killed you, but... I had to, as a very side note, I had to say that you were the worst person. Was it? I've always hated you, or something.
Yeah. We've not reopened that wound again yet.
Oh, God. I feel like this is going to turn into a therapy session.
I feel it should. He's still not properly apologised. We were at the Crystal Maze. Well, in fact, I've got my little crystal from the Crystal Maze here. It's in my office.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like that, yeah.
Crystal Maze in London. And as the maze master comes out and says, right, okay, we're going to say our names and, you know, what our ages are, blah, 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 and but first, tell us a secret that no one else knows, or something like this, and pointed to Glenn, and he just turned around and he says, I've always hated him.
Yeah, it's the first thing I could think of.
Thanks. Top of mind awareness. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, cheers.
Just to confirm, you don't actually hate each other. We don't want rumours like that spreading.
Oh, no, I don't.
It's a strong dislike, but, you know, it's, hate's a strong word.
That's the third strike, because he made a joke about it the second time at the pleasure beach. Third strike, I've noticed that.
God, you're keeping notes.
Oh, is it like if you repeat it three times, it's true or something?
I have no idea. It's a bit like Beetlejuice, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, that was the thing that did amaze me with the Victus when, obviously, it's been testing for a while, and we went back to it very later on in the day, and there's no... as Disney will call it, protein spillages anywhere.
No.
There wasn't. I mean, if you look at it, it's got that, like, decking area for the station platform, and it was immaculate. You know, people, you might come off, if you do suffer travel sickness, from a bit of G-force, you might come off wheezy, but people weren't coming off. It's not a ride that's designed to make you feel like that. It's a ride that makes you thrilled, especially... Yeah. I mean, I'm the opposite of Glenn. I like the weightless feeling. I'm always a bit worried about trusting restraints because that's just my head. But for years, I used to go on what is now Launchpad with a magnificent soundtrack.
But when it was stimped on that.
Yeah. when it was whatever PlayStation or Ice Blast and things like that. In the early years, I did used to, when you get to the top, I didn't want to trust the restraints and I would hold on for dear life. And it's only when I've decided to, you know, just trust the restraints that you finally get that full feeling of floating, which you get that with a Victus in droves when you get to the very top.
It's not vomit inducing at all.
No.
And that's the thing. It rotates, but it doesn't spin. And I think that's probably the difference with the fairground rides that you talked about, Glenn. They are true spinning rides. Whereas this, I mean, you only really notice you're rotating because your view is changing. You don't feel the sensation.
I was going to say that. Yeah, it's only when you... when it's doing the big sweeps down and you it's like, oh, I'm going forwards. And then, oh, look, I'm going backwards. You don't feel the movement.
No.
It's not like a centrifugal thing.
I've actually felt more sick going on the Avatar Airbender in the Nickelodeon.
Oh, yeah.
But
you say there, Glenn, when you're doing the big sweep, when it gets to full height, if you're... I call it the front. You can't have a front on a circle, I suppose. But if you're looking down at the ground, when it's at full height on the sort of Big Dipper end, that experience, you can't comprehend the height. It's strange.
I know.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. You truly feel like you're flying, I think, at that point. If you put your arms out and you are, like you say, your face down. And if you can get over the restraint thing that you talk about in your head, I will say it's lap restraints only, which I think is brilliant because you feel so free. But there is a seatbelt as well, just for that extra like mental, this is properly restrained. You'll never like need it. It's purely a psychological thing, those seatbelts. But they are there if that helps you. It is a sensation like absolutely nothing else. It was everything that I wanted it to be. The media day itself, let's talk about that. Because obviously if you're listening to this, you may have not been to a media day and kind of know what they look like. I know that, you know, some people say, oh, well, why was there a media day, you know, on the same day as opening day and things like that. The reality is the park has to get content out and has to promote the ride. And that's the way that they decided to do it, was have a few hours in the morning for media and press and then open the ride, obviously, in the afternoon. So what did this look like for us? Well, Alex, your day probably started before ours because, like you say, you were the gob on the stick. You've done this now. So how many times for the Pleasure Beach have you been the MC for ride openings?
It's not that many times, I don't think. I did for Skyforce, Red Arrow Skyforce. Did it for Launchpad. And I was invited to Icon, but I wasn't the gob on a stick because that's where we first met, wasn't it, Glenn, at the Icon one. So I was invited from a press perspective, working on radio as my full-time job, and then this one as well. So yeah, it's just the three so far.
Sure you'll be back
so far.
You're part of the furniture now.
You are.
Thank you very much. Knowing Glenn's opinion of the fact that he can't stand me or he slightly dislikes me, is that furniture a footstool? Or?
It's the furniture I'm taking to the tip tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You are not going to live this one down, are you? So what is your brief as the MC then? What's the purpose of you?
The purpose of me, I suppose, is to drive and run the event. If you've got a planned event with a lot of people in it, obviously you don't want to describe them like cattle, but you do need to herd people to the right place. Well, it's true. You know, there is a practical side to this.
Yeah.
I was always told that the skill of someone who is the event host or an MC is to make people. Move people along without realizing that they're being herded along. So you try and add a bit of personality to it. But even from the check-in, so I obviously was there before you guys. We had breakfast in the morning, but I had to go there early. And when you arrived...
We did have breakfast with a complicated porridge order, but...
a very complicated porridge order. The three of us having porridge. It was very nice porridge. I liked my porridge.
It was excellent in the Boulevard Hotel.
Like
yeah.
Yeah.
Fully recommend that one.
Yeah, yes. If you're on the Boulevard, ask for the porridge with cinnamon and honey.
Yeah, and milk.
milk, yes. Glenn has a big thing about porridge and milk. But I turned up at the casino building, and there's different sorts of check-in because I do feel for people who work in PR and marketing nowadays, because if you go back to the opening of the big one when I was a lot younger, Glenn was a lot younger. Bex, how old were you?
I was 10.
Yeah, thanks for that.
I was in primary school.
They invited radio, they invited newspapers, and they invite TV, and that's it. This is it. We were there was different queues for people coming in to get their different passes and things like this because you've got content creators, which it's become an industry in itself now, hasn't it? You've got anyone with a phone can make a YouTube channel, and then. If you're in the PR and marketing department, you're obviously looking at the people who maybe just have a few hundred followers and do it for a bit of fun, or the ones who actually are influencers, you know, who will actually influence your industry and do it to a high quality. So they get invited along to this, and you've got to make sure that they have access to get the content and the material they need, the people they want to talk to. And, you know, like obviously Glenn was one of the interviewees on the day. They want to talk to him about his score and where he's got all this from. So that was all the check-in process in the morning. And then obviously there is an order of people and VIPs who are there from Intermini Built It, special guests, JR for people who...
That was a surprise.
Good. Yeah.
For those of you who watched the Pleasure Beach TV series in the 90s and know Pleasure Beach history, that was a bit of a living legend. But obviously, you're trying to corral all these people into the park in a certain order so they're in the right place. So that was kind of how it started. And my instructions were to follow, make sure that people follow the snake dancers. Now, I never got to see the snake dancers.
I saw them. I think we must have been too far back in the throng of people.
Was it the girls in the, like, the pump, like the showgirl looking thing? Were there snake
dancers? Yeah, they had the feathers on the hair. I suggested they went on Invictus with those feathers on. That was a good idea.
Neck on with a wind resistance.
But no, we went down to the site, and that was really where I hadn't really clocked just how much of a nice area that was going to become.
Yeah.
By removing the Bowlerdrome sort of games arcade alley that was there, and with the speaker system and your soundtrack and that area all included, it's opened it all up, but it's opened it all up into like a self-contained area. And I think I remember you saying at some point, Glenn, my God, they've gone to town on the speakers because the quality of the sound in that area is...
It's brilliant. I could stay there all day. It's brilliant.
And it's even the little details that it's definitely stylized, and it's definitely got a touch of Amanda to it.
She
loves this kind of detail. And when you look around, it's even some of the things like the fencing has the word Invictus into the top of it, which lights up at night, and because... small things like that people don't really notice a lot of the time until they see it as a whole.
Yeah.
But it's a strange oasis there, isn't it? And that's kind of where we all congregated for the cocktails. Did either of you try the cocktails, by the way?
I did. I think you had one, did you?
Yeah. Was mine alcoholic or non-alcoholic? I can't remember.
I think it was. I had some sort of Prosecco-y thing.
Oh, yeah. I always go fruity. So whatever the fruity cocktail was,
whatever it was nice. They were also offering like sausage rolls, spring rolls. There were some lovely staff wandering around.
I was still in preservation mode. Yeah, I'm not going to be that one on the opening day.
Actually, I think we didn't have a cocktail till afterwards for that reason.
Exactly. Yeah, we were I'm hungry and sober.
And you didn't seem to take my advice in a helpful manner, of which it was given, which is the fact that surely you should be eating something so when you throw up, it brings something back up. Aww. But no, you didn't find that encouraging at all.
Like, I have Bex on one side and me and Forrest on the other. So which way would I look?
I was doing the hosting, of course. I didn't get to go on the ride until a little way after you. So you guys were...
Really? Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. We left you behind. Bye-bye.
Because I, of course, have to sort of corral everyone together. And they tell me what's in Amanda's speech, because there's quite a running joke in the fact that at Launchpad, I decided to do a bit of an intro spiel and pretty much stole all of Paul Amanda's speech by doing it. So I checked with her this time and prepared notes before. I'm not saying anything you're saying, am I? We welcome to Amanda to the stage. She did a brilliant speech. It was very, very funny, even to the point of where asking seagulls to keep away from her just in case. But she did point out that, you know, on the ground level, if you look now at the size of theme parks and corporations and the cost of these rides, you know, they're not a drop in the ocean. And they're also not rides that, if you go back in time, things like the Wild Mouse was built in house. You can't build these things in house.
Yeah.
You know, that for a park of that size to invest in this kind of stuff and continue to invest, you know, Icon wasn't exactly a drop in the ocean in terms of money, is a big deal. And really, it's, as far as Blackpool's concerned, what would Blackpool be without the Pleasure Beach? You know, these big rides are a significant investment. And it was something to celebrate. And I think they got that kind of message across, didn't they?
Yeah. Definitely. Sasha from Intamin was there representing Intamin, obviously, who built it. And he gave Nick Thompson a lovely big cowbell. So that was the gift from Intamin to the Thompson family. Apparently that is a traditional Swiss cowbell. And that was the gift, which I thought was quite a nice... I did wonder when he went up on stage with you with a carrier bag.
But leave it there, son. You know, he might be in Blackpool, but it's not going to get nicked today.
But did you know he was going to do that?
I knew he was going to present a gift. I didn't know the gift was the cowbell.
Right.
I was just told that there's going to be a gift, and we're not sure whether they're going to do it before or after the countdown. But of course, when he came up, he'd obviously decided he was doing it before the countdown in the opening.
wanted to get rid of his bag.
Yeah, he was going to get rid of his bag. And there'd obviously been some discussion before as to who was going to receive it. So, yeah, Nick went up and received it, which, you know, and then the whole family, we got the whole family together. So there's obviously Amanda, Nick and Fiona Fodi, who are the three top. I call them the Thompson children. I don't know why, because, of course, you know, I'm back far too long.
You're age, Alex.
I am showing you. But the Thompson family and I forgot his name from Intimate again.
Sasha.
Yeah, they all queued up to put the ribbon. And, then it was the glitter cannons. The yes. glitter cannons. I feel sorry for the people who have to do the glitter cannons at Blackpool every time because, of course, you have to try and guess where you're going to put them as to where the wind's going to be and to get the best effect. Of course, in Blackpool, you can never predict that, can you?
No.
So that was the big opening. And then, yes, everyone went on board. It's got to be...
Hang on, before, it's... I mean, staging... Ah, so yeah, Mans and Fordy and everybody else like, cut the ribbon, and then when they opened the doors and they'd started the ride like 10 seconds earlier, and so as the doors open, this mammoth thing was just swinging. That was to me. That was absolute. Cause I remember saying to you, "Oh my God!"
You nearly backed out at that point, didn't you? I was like, "No, come on!"
And then she gets a phone out, it's a video. Oh, look at you! Oh, yeah, it looks wonderful now. Like, I'm committed. But that I will never forget that it was perfectly framed through the doors, and this thing just coming at you. It was, and when you stand underneath it under the netting. And when she's at full board, did we cut right? Hang on, point of order.
Here we go. Are
they a he, she, or an it?
I always call them she.
Yeah,
I always call them she.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'm just so I'm not stepping on any.
A bit like she.
Yeah. So when she's at full board and you're stood right underneath it, there's not many things that are cooler than that.
No,
no.
It feels like it is going just over the top of your head, doesn't
it? Yes.
Well, it's a bit like, you know, the ramp that goes between, that allows them to go over Watson Road, you know, the between Evictus and the River Caves. Normally, that used to be a bit of a thoroughfare.
Yeah.
It's now become a massive spectator spot. It's a real spectator sport watching that ride.
They'll have to widen the ramp to accommodate it. I mean, you can knock down that River Caves thing, can't you?
Oh, wow. put your daggers down.
You want that left in? You know. If you have been, you know, affected by any of the issues, email Glenn at.
I am over 21, and you know, just over 21, and all these years I never knew it said tunnel of love as you go in.
Such an old romantic.
I never knew. To me, it was always a historical journey. Through Far Asia and else.
It was.
Yeah, but the Tunnel of Love has got nothing to do with that. The Tunnel of Love.
It says Tunnel of Love as you go in.
Yeah, that was put up for an episode of Coronation Street back in the 80s, and they've left it.
Oh, see, you're getting trivia. What more do you want, people? You're getting trivia and history.
Right. I'm not even sure. It might even be the same time when Coronation Street came and they killed off Alan Bradley by him running in front of a tram. Do you remember?
The stop is still called the Alan Bradley stop.
It is. So there we go. So that's why the Tunnel of Love is there. The rest of the ride.
Oh, right. Because I've never understood the connection.
No.
Well, there you go. Now you know.
Yeah. Now I know.
But yeah,
this is a podcast all about Blooming River Cave.
Hopefully that'll be next year. I think that the ramp thing is a really interesting thing because I always used to feel like it was felt quite claustrophobic as you got towards the top there with the old like Waltzers in the Dark building that was up there as well. But now it does feel super open, and you're right, it is a great spot to stand and watch.
We went on the park later, then we came back because we were going to sneak another ride on it, and we were watching it for a good 10 minutes. It's just. Yeah.
Hypnotizing. I don't know whether
it's novelty or whatever, but...
Has anyone noticed that there's been a lot of chatter online about the unexpected benefit of Evictus in that area? That? You remember the foods, the food stands all up by Infusion at the top of the ramp there, and they used to have to put up fake eagles on post to stop the seagulls. Yeah, seagulls don't come anywhere near it now because this whopping great swinging pendulum comes up.
Oh, yeah.
eat your chips without dive bombing seagulls. I think that's brilliant.
Oh, but that is a benefit. That is an added bonus. Oh, excellent. Glenn, you talked about when the moment those gates opened and it started swinging. That was also the first time that you heard your soundtrack to the ride moving.
Yes.
That must be a weird moment for you.
It was, and it was different to hearing Icon, because that's kind of the first time really you hear it in at full bore kind of thing. And Icon was special because it was like the first one. But this is banging. I don't care if I did it or not. This is a banging tune. And they've really gone to town on the speakers and the bass cabinets and everything else. So you feel it. A lot of people were saying how cool it was being so loud. And then we did get Andy Haggart going, yes, we're turning it down tomorrow. And I don't
think he did.
And I was like, no, it's going to stay like this. I don't care if you go deaf. It's going to stay like this. It's going to have the impact.
Yeah.
And when the floor drops away and then it kind of goes into the full score, because it's like playing the ambient section first, and then as soon as the ride starts, then it goes into like the full score. That was a complete surprise to me when you just heard the Victus and then he starts saying, oh, this is cool. This is I like this. And you also get, for nerds, for audio nerds, you get a phasing effect as the ride swings over where the speakers are. You get a lovely phasing effect, which it would be impossible to recreate in here. And it's a natural phasing, and I have phasers coming out of my ears. Oh, I won't get in the cut. There's a phaser. But I have them coming out of my ears, but you couldn't get anything that would sound like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, from a nerdy audio point of view as well, it sounds cool.
Right, when it says Evictus, I actually think that's really, really cool. He says tongue-in-cheek. But the swing, yeah, that feeling, because it's so bass-heavy in those speakers, they're such wonderful quality speakers.
Yeah.
It's the feeling of the sound. You know, when speakers get to that point of where it vibrates your chest cavity?
Yeah.
And you can feel it. So as you're going through, it almost enhances the ride. But I think we mentioned on our little podcasty chat for the Pleasure Beach, didn't we, that at one point they turned the music off when we were there.
Yeah.
And suddenly it's just, it's still an impressive ride and it all looks great, but the atmosphere's gone.
Straight away.
Yeah, I was surprised how much I add to the whole experience. and without me, it's just a ride.
Yeah, but I agree, and I think we don't talk about this enough, about how music does enhance, attractions, whether it's a roller coaster or a flat ride, particularly a flat ride, actually. I think it's quite unusual for a flat ride to have a soundtrack, which is why I was really pleased that you'd been commissioned to do that. I did a video on TikTok about it last year saying, wow, this is amazing that this is going to happen, and it really is going to add to the ride experience. It shows how much the Pleasure Beach are putting into this ride. It absolutely did. And that moment, when the music went off and they had to reset the speakers, it was almost eerie how quiet it was.
Yeah.
Maybe your next commission should be for next year, when we would love to see the River Caves reopen. Can you do like a 90s remix, different enough to escape copyright of like It's a Small World? That would be good.
Not too techno, though.
Yeah, because the enthusiasts don't like it when it gets a bit too techno-y.
Oh, right. Okay.
So weirdly, everybody loves the bit when the kick comes in on the score, when it like takes it to, you're banging along thinking this can never get any better. And then that kick comes in and we're off we go into a higher plane of ecstaticness and euphoria.
So many people came up to you on the day as well, saying that they loved it. And you said you've never had that experience before.
I've never had that experience before.
Which for me, hanging around with you, I'm your friend. I'm dead proud of you anyway. But it was just so nice for you to get that.
You were acting as security at one point.
Well, we have to.
McHugh, come on, kid, come on.
£10 an autograph. it's to get that live feedback for something that you've created, it was amazing. Apart from one person who said that they preferred
I can't. Tell the story. You tell it better than me. Away you go.
When you say you, me or Bex, which one do you want to...
Oh, you tell it. You know the moment, don't you, Alex?
You can argue between yourselves.
Well, this was just when this one person came up. Oh, yeah, are you Glenn, the Notable Stranger? And he's like, yes. Yeah. Oh, I love what you do and everything else. And actually, on all genuineness, it was really nice to see you get the credit in person you deserve from people. But this guy turns around and says, oh, yeah, well, I like Evictus. It's not your best work. As if to say, you'd reached your peak, our song was good, but, it's good that you're still around.
Yeah.
It's good you're still in work.
I'm doing the Here and Now tour or something.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I think what he actually said was, I don't like Evictus, but I love Icon and Bath.
Yeah.
I did say maybe he just meant the ride, maybe he didn't
While you were consoling me while I was cranking in the corner. Why is this not alcohol free?
But it was, but genuinely, like, there was so much love for the soundtrack, not just on the day, but online as well. I mean, I know it's blown you away, the response that you've had to it.
It really has. I mean, I know Icon was always the daddy, and everybody judges everything off Icon, and but yeah, Evictus is. I like it, and I hate everything. Any composer hates everything they do for a certain amount of time when it's still fresh, and then you kind of come back to it with reset ears, and you think, oh yeah, it's kind of all right now. And I could fix that bit, but that's just how your mind works. But yeah, it seems to be quite universally loved. There's obviously always one or two, but it's. It is weird that it's...
Is there any ride at the Pleasure Beach? Bear in mind, your soundtrack's now on the big one, which I have a soft spot for.
Oh, it's me and Bex tried an experiment.
Oh,
yes.
We did. We when we were walking through from the hotel, we tried... It's one of the things that just occurred to us. Could we walk from one side of the Pleasure Beach to the other and hear me without a gap?
Oh,
ah, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So it kicked off with the big one.
Big one Icon.
Yeah. And that they did bleed into each other quite nicely. And then just as you were getting to the end of where Icon, outside Coasters, obviously you can still hear Icon, and you're heading towards the back end of the Big Dipper, Evictus is starting to bleed in. So I think there was just about a crossover, wasn't there, at that point? We were like, yeah, okay. There's a bit of a gap between Launchpad and Valhalla.
I need to do something around there.
Yeah. Are you going to do the Grand National soundtrack?
Yes.
Are you doing all your soundtrack? We could have uncovered something here, Bex. You know, like the Marvel superhero films. They're all interconnected. Are all yours like in the same key, or they all can lead into each other? So basically, they all complement each other in like a big patchwork of musical quilt across the park.
If I'd have thought about it, I'm going to say yes, of course.
there are little things, aren't there?
Yeah, I did think, because Valhalla's quite boomy and bangy.
Techno.
Launchpad doesn't have any drums at all, so there's no contrasting tempos or drums because they're so next to each other. So that was a consideration. I did try and base Evictus on being a bridge from Valhalla to Icon, so there's kind of some of the more critical opinions posted online that it sounds like Icon. Yeah, I did both. It's going to sound like Icon a bit. You can't help that. But there are little tiny salutes to both in Evictus, just because I thought it's kind of geographically in the middle. So it's just so there was a kind of... if you are listening, they kind of blend-ish, and then you've got Launchpad that's 1970s vintage.
That's just on his own.
In terms of though soundtracks going forward, I've already asked you, which is your favourite, and you've already said, Icon is like picking your favourite child. In terms of writing a soundtrack for an existing Pleasure Beach ride,
ooh,
which one would you, would you pick from a purely musically creative point of view?
Because
haven't gone on to the bit about Amanda's story behind Evictus yet, but had to say, I'll tell you what, I could take that ride and musically, or I could do this with it. Because I think if you did like the Alice ride, you'd have the Song of the Elders complaint again about the fact that
if it's already got music, I'm out.
Okay. Yeah.
Life's too short. Really.
So what would you do?
I always liked the idea of the Rev because I had this idea of something that went forward and then a melody that could be played forwards and then backwards, which I know the Rev's never going to get anything. So I did have the same thinking for Evictus because of the advance and then the retreat. So all the sound, well, a lot of the sounds on there get played forwards and then backwards. And especially in the ambient-y bit at the start, there's lots, almost every sound or everything you hear is played forwards and backwards as a kind of swing effect. So I have used the idea from the Rev on the Victus. What would I like to do? Grand National, just for geographic to complete the listener experience through the park. Controversial opinion.
Go on.
Infusion.
Oh. Ooh.
Interesting. So if Mans came to you tomorrow and said, okay, we're going to put a new sound system on Infusion, how would it work then? Would you want it on board audio? Do you want...
I'm not that bothered, to be honest. I don't see the point. Is that a bad thing?
No, I meant that if you were composing a song that... You know, if you look at roller coasters that have onboard audio, like, you know, your Rock and Roller Coaster and things like this, the music takes into account the actual movement of the roller coaster.
I mean, it'd be a challenge. It'd be something I haven't done before. So yeah, I'd do it as a challenge. I don't know how predictable rides are for speed, so you couldn't do things.
I mean, the bigger challenge would be I don't think there is a Vekoma SLC with onboard audio, as far as I can think of.
That was going to be my second point. Actually, I think the Grand National would be a better alternative.
Yeah.
I think you can do like dueling melodies kind of thing with into the dueling trains. So yeah. I think there's more musical possibilities with that.
And I'd like you to do the Ghost Train, even though I don't go on the Ghost Train.
I mean, it's just spookiness, isn't it?
But you could just... I think it would enhance it.
You're such a big fan of the Ghost Train, Bex.
I know, I love it.
I have the video evidence.
Take it back to Evictus and the launch. Obviously, we went and had our first ride, which, as we've said, we very much enjoyed. I thought it was the perfect ride experience. It was everything that I wanted. The moments of weightlessness. The G-force, by the way, at the bottom, after you are at the highest point, that the max G-force that you get on that, which I measured, is 4.5 G, which is... pretty impressive, and you certainly feel that. After we got off, because it was a media event, there is a bit of media type mingling to be done, and some interviews. I know, Alex, you went and got some interviews. I did some interviews as well. Firstly, with Peter from IAPA. Okay, so we're at the launch of Evictus. I'm with Peter from IAPA. Where have you come from to get here?
The Netherlands.
Okay, yeah. Not too bad. Not too long a flight. But you wanted to be here. What do you think of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's wonderful to see as well that Blackpool Pleasure Beach, or Pleasure Beach Resort nowadays, actually invested a lot in this new ride.
Yeah.
So that's why we also wanted to be here and support that. Fantastic ride, absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, it's much faster than you would expect if you're standing outside. and I don't think it makes you that nauseous, what I think also a lot of people would expect, but yeah, no.
I think
really
it looks
fun.
More intimidating than it actually rides. It looks like it's going to be like...
fun. Yeah.
There was the moment when you're at the peak and you're on your back and you're sort of looking behind you. That's the one point. Have you ridden Loki at Lizzieburg?
Yes.
So you kind of knew what to...
I knew what to expect, but I remember indeed also there the first time I rode that. Then there was really new for me.
Yeah.
And it surprised me in a really positive way because it's just so much fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it is so good for us, I think, as theme park fans in the UK to have a flat ride on this scale in the UK. We were always saying on the podcast we need more flat rides in the UK. And I think this is an absolute world-class one.
Absolutely.
I have ridden the one over at Six Flags Qiddiya, which is taller, but it's got the shoulder restraints. So obviously this one, with just the lap restraints, is a whole
Yeah, the experience is fantastic, and you've got to see the park from all different angles, yeah. So that's also fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
And IAAF is obviously coming to the UK this year in September.
Yes, we're looking forward
exciting.
To it. Absolutely, yeah. End of September, and we're in full preparation mode. Actually, registration opened yesterday, so...
Oh, there we go.
So, yeah, we're already starting. Yeah, we have everything set.
Well, hopefully, I'm going to come and see you there.
Absolutely.
It's on my bucket list to go to an IAAF, so this year, I think, in the UK...
Well, there's no excuse now.
There's
right?
no excuse at all. Peter, thanks so much for talking to us.
Likewise, thank you.
So that was absolutely fantastic to speak to him, and lovely to hear how much he enjoyed riding Evictus, and obviously agreeing that it's such a great investment for the park. Did you do much mingling at that point, Alex?
Yeah, I went round and I obviously interviewed Glenn. I've got to get an interview from Glenn, obviously.
Oh, he'd be upset.
I got a fantastic interview with Amanda, who was really, really excited, because I can imagine, you know, that if you are someone who owns an amusement park or a theme park or any kind of that, there is this expectation, I suppose, that you absolutely love riding these things, in the same way that it was it the guy who designed the big one, was it Ron Toomer, who
yes.
suffers travel sickness and would never travel on his roller coasters. But she has such enthusiasm for this ride and the theme behind it and the whole event. That was brilliant. And then, of course, I had a chat with Andy Highgate, who is now full title. Do I get this right? Is it Director of Operations?
Yes.
I think he is.
Yeah.
Yes. And Andy is always brilliant. If you ever get chatting to Andy at the park, he's not just Director of Operations, who obviously has got his finger on the pulse as to how the whole park works and keeps it running smoothly, but he's also an enthusiast as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
If you ever follow him on Instagram and Twitter, it's like watching a travel log of someone who's gone on busman's holiday all the time. there was a lot to be garnered from chatting to them about the process of putting it in. Including, people always forget, of course, that the Pleasure Beach is known like that because it's built on what used to be the beach.
Yeah.
So in terms of rides like the big one, like Evictus, big, hefty rides that have huge G-forces, like you mentioned, Bex, they're building it on sand. So there's a lot of engineering works to make sure these things don't, you know, fall over, fall out of the ground and things like this, because they're not really sitting on anything solid, are they, really?
No. And that's why I think, you know... This was a £9 million installation almost, which seems like an awful lot of money for a big gyro swing. But you've got to take into consideration that and what it takes to build a ride on the Pleasure Beach and why this is so huge for them to do that. So, yeah, I mean, that is the nice thing about the media events is that you do get to have those conversations and sort of deeper conversations with people who are sort of mingling around, and you get to ask some of the questions that you want answered. You obviously mentioned you spoke to Amanda. I am delighted to say that I also spoke to Amanda. This has been something I've mentioned on this podcast before. I've always said I would love to get her on podcast at some point. Hopefully I will again in the future, but this was my little conversation that I had with her at the opening of Evictus. I started this podcast 2 years ago, and at the very start I said there is one woman who I am desperate to speak to at some point on this podcast. It is, of course, the legendary Amanda Thompson. We're here at the opening of an Evictus. I've just ridden it. What an incredible ride.
Well, I'm glad you love it.
It's amazing.
Good, because it terrifies me. I've done it once and I'm never doing it again.
So you have done it.
Yeah, but I'm not doing it again. That's why I'm not on it today, because it terrifies me.
It is. It's phenomenal. When you announced it, I was so excited for the park, because it's exactly what the park needed. What, you know, an incredible ride.
It's a huge adrenaline rush. It's a massive ride. It's mighty. It's big. It's forceful. And that's what Pleasure Beach is about, giving people really great addition to their day out or holidays here in England.
And it's 130 years, obviously, of the Pleasure Beach this year. And what a way to celebrate it.
Well, yeah, and there's a little backstory with my grandparents as well.
Yes.
Because they visited Cambodia in the 1930s. So when they did that, they brought back an egg. They built Angkor Wat and in the river caves, and there we go.
And here it is today.
Yeah.
It must be such a weird feeling for you when you actually see it open to the public for the first time and the ride is going on.
I think it's really nice for me to actually see people on it now, because yeah. I've been here very early in the morning. I actually polished and brought the food dogs back to life. So I did all that. So it's been really extraordinary, but I can honestly say that this ride is mighty, it's great, and everyone should come and enjoy it. And who knows what we'll do next?
Oh, Is there? Have you got something? Have you got an idea? You must have a little idea.
I have always got ideas. Yeah. I've got about 10 ideas. So I can't even give you a snippet of one because there's so much running through my mind about how we can create the next exciting attraction. But, you know, we're a very limited space here, so I've got to make way for the future.
And it, just to mention, it's 90 years of Hot Ice this year as well.
Oh, yes, it is.
So that's exciting. So two anniversaries in 1 year is
a
big thing. It's a lot for you, too. It's a lot on your plate.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure, but are you excited for it?
Oh, I'm really, really looking forward to Hot Ice. And XC is the evening show, and I'm doing a totally different matinee show.
Yes.
The matinee show will be Alice Frozen in a Wonderland of Dreams. So basically on the story of Alice in Wonderland, but it's sort of with a twist of my own little dreams as well.
Always. And of course, our mutual friend Glenn has done the music for all three.
Glenn does write spectacular music.
It's amazing.
And he's been a friend for many, many years, and so I'm very grateful to him for everything he does for us.
Amanda, it's incredible. I'm going to go back round and ride it again.
Go.
Congratulations.
Have
it's
fun.
Awesome.
Have a great day.
There you go. And she's so thankful for you, Glenn. See,
I know.
You're appreciated.
I love Mans. She's brilliant.
It was so nice speaking to her. She was so enthusiastic and clearly so proud to see the reaction that everyone had to the ride, which I can't even imagine what that feels like to have something that you've kind of thought, yep, we'll buy one of those. I'll come up with the creative, the backstory behind it. And then this is the day when it opens and everyone kind of gets to enjoy it properly for the first time. I can't imagine what a feeling of elation that is for her. She obviously mentioned the backstory briefly there, but you got the full backstory from her to do the score for it.
Yes. It's like everything she, every ride I've done there, she just gives you a stream of consciousness, and it's perfect. It kind of colours everything in for me straight away. So she's drawn it out. I'm literally just colouring it in. That's how I always see it, because she gives you such brilliant notes to work off, and the comprehensive, and she'll have like words that are just what she's thinking while she's doing it. So it's brilliant. I mean, sometimes you get a commission and I want it to sound blue, and you're like, well, how the hell does that work? So she is a composer's dream to work for.
So the
story was that her grandparents in real life went to Angkor Wat in the 1920s, 1930s, something like that. And they had lots of cine film and things like that. And that they brought this egg back, and this egg had gone into the river caves and had lived there, and had somehow tunneled underneath the river caves into these now famous catacombs that are under the river caves. I didn't know about them. And so it had grown and slithered and things like that, and then it appeared on the other side as a formed ride, or an egg, or it was born or hatched or whatever. I missed that bit, but a thing. So all the bit at the start, which is like the ambient bit, and is meant to be the snake moving through the catacombs and approaching metaphors mixed up, but like approaching the right, it can hear, so on the score you can hear at various points like a distant swing, and you're getting nearer to it, and then when you're there, then it's Victor, and the big choir and everything else. So there's like an underground and then the actual ride running. So all the descriptions and things like that are just perfect for it makes you want to do the most over the top and bombastic thing. And that's what she loves. That's what I love doing. So she always describes something that I want to do.
Yeah.
Which is the best way I can describe it. Sometimes people describe it and think, I'm not doing it. This is not me. Why am I doing this? You know.
But you get excited about
Oh, yeah. It's brilliant. As soon as a ride gets announced or whatever, it's like please tell me, man. Just and sometimes, like especially for Evictus as well, I was like, tell me, you know, talk to me. And she said, I haven't. It's not in my head yet. I'll, you know, give me a few weeks or whatever. And then when she did, it's just this stream of consciousness, and I'm scribbling it down as quick as I can, and I don't want to miss anything, or it might even just be a word that she says, which she wants it to be that. So you've got to be very aware of not just following a general theme, but specific one word in the description can just send it a different way. So you've got to, and she's very clear and descriptive with her describing words. It's not even a sentence. It's just like, I want it to be this. And so that is what really makes you feel, yeah, this is what it's going to be.
Yeah. And obviously it worked, because we ended up with the epic soundtrack, which, as we said, has been excellently received by 99% of people who've heard it, which
I know.
I would say is a win.
That's a win. I'll take that.
So after we'd done our media mingling, we were invited to lunch, which was a lovely invite. I'd never been up there before.
Oh.
Up into the tower.
Yes.
Well, it was a combination of the two. Well, I mean, you were giving me the tour, weren't you?
It's the White Tower and overflow into the attic nightclub. It doesn't sound like we're saying everybody knows what a nightclub looks like in daylight. It wasn't like that. No. It's very nice.
Yeah, you know, wine on the tables and things like that. Alex went and got half a cow from the buffet.
I can recommend, if anyone, you know, eats at the White Tower, presumably the White Tower chefs, the beef is exceptionally good.
we could just about see his eyebrows when he was walking back with a pile.
In fairness, there was rice as well, so you know that's what that feels like.
But you're getting your carbs, love. Yeah.
But that was very nice to be invited to. And then we were given tickets to obviously go and enjoy the Pleasure Beach for the rest of the afternoon, which we did together. And I think I just wanted to mention this, because obviously we were there for the Evictus launch, but that afternoon on the Pleasure Beach just reminded me why I am a theme park fan. Because when you go to a park, I think, with your good friends, and you just go and have fun for the afternoon, there is no better feeling than that. You know, we had no plan. We weren't rushing around or anything. We just said, should we go and do this? Should we go on Icon? Yeah, let's go and do that. And we did Enzo, didn't we, Glenn, together? And that's the first time I've done Enzo. And I mean, we were laughing our heads off all the way around. It was just hilarious. Alex, you didn't want to do Enzo, so you sat in front of us.
Enzo only was two people, so I sat in front of you. And you could tell, because I can't see behind you on the Icon seat, but you could tell how you were spinning, because I could hear the laughter, and it was amazing. Swinging around, it was great.
Yeah. I'm going back once again.
So that was great. I mean, we went and did the big one, like you said. We forced you onto that one, strong-armed you into that, which I'm sure
not as bad as I remember.
Well, that's good, because your son is threatening to take you on it in July.
I know.
He was very disappointed that we went.
All these years, Uncle Mark Forrest took him on last time, and he's like, "Oh yeah, Uncle Mark will take you on." And then, because he follows you more than he follows me on Instagram, that he was heartbroken that I'd been on with Auntie Bex.
I know. Well,
so go on again.
Hot Ice opening day. That'll be a sight to behold. Mm-hmm. So we went and did that. What else did we do? We did the ghost train. I was strong-armed into that one. And that was not
the YouTube video. You know, I'll set up a YouTube channel just to put that video on.
And it's because I captured a photo of the two of you coming out at the end of the ride as you were still videoing. And Bex's face says it all about just how impressed you were being filmed all the way through that.
How she can get scared of essentially fluorescent paint, I don't know.
Well.
Oh, dear.
She's not defending herself here.
I don't like things that jump out at me, okay? So it's a testing experience for me. We went and did the flying machines as well.
It's lovely. You can't not go on the Pleasure Beach and not do the flying machine. It's like what we didn't do with the PB Express.
No, and we did mean to do that, didn't we?
We always do that as well. Well, me and Alex do, because that's a train thing, yeah.
Well, maybe if I go to the launch of Hot Ice and I join you again, we can make sure that we take.
Don't you think
off.
The flying machines, though? I always think the flying machine, it's almost like an opposite of a Victus, where actually it looks like a really tame ride.
Yeah.
I know it's not intense. You don't come off feeling sick or anything else, but I still think the flying machines pack a punch for a ride that's, where are we, nearly 130 years old, isn't it?
No, they do, and there's no seatbelt or anything. I'm just sat in it.
I said at the time, can you imagine the day that opened? It must have been the most amazing thing in the world. Yeah. And she lifts her skirt up, doesn't she? It's quite... It's quite...
Not me, just...
No, yeah, the ride. The ride, love.
I've never heard that as a technical phrase, but obviously
it means that it goes fast.
Centrifugal force.
Yes.
No, but he just belts around. It's going a fair lick. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so I'm with you, Bex. I thought it was lovely because normally when you go to a theme park, with families and things like this, especially if you've got kids, and I always enjoy theme parks. Most of my household income goes on visits to theme parks, especially getting off the Isle of Man first. Crikey.
Well, yeah.
Because we haven't got any here, just for people who haven't visited the Isle of Man. But there is a certain degree of pressure, isn't there? And you're trying to get everything in it. But that was just a lovely laid back. And it's the thing that people always talk about when it comes to amusement parks or theme parks, is just enjoying the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Because, you don't have to be running around on a ride and things like that. No, I don't know. Glenn was over the moon to go on Wallace and Gromit.
One of the most loveliest bits was we were sat next to the other end of the pizza cafe next to where the around the puzzle maze
near the toilets.
I was trying desperately not to say that.
They're not called toilets, they're called loos. There we go, they're big stands.
We sat next to the loos, and we were having a pack of donuts. We're sharing a pack of donuts. It was lovely.
We need to do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Get a date in the diary for Near Hot Eye. If he doesn't hate me still by then, obviously.
For the first time ever, my entire family's coming with me.
But yeah, it really reminded me what a great place the Pleasure Beach is. I mean, I've always loved it. It's a park I've grown up with. But I said it in a video on the day, the Pleasure Beach on a sunny day, I just think it's unbeatable. The atmosphere that was there. And I was just walking around bumping into people, saying, saying hi to people.
Oh, yeah. She was saying about me getting bumped into. You were if not more recognised. And, I really like your podcast. I really like your thing. Yeah. So it was like I was doing security for her. She was doing security for me.
I just looked like a carer.
We have to talk about that. So obviously with your MC duties, you were suited and booted, which is, as you'd expect. Yeah. But you've been given to wear for your MC duties a Pleasure Beach tie, a proper Pleasure Beach tie, which has Pleasure Beach all over it. And it essentially looks like a staff tie. And of course, you had your lanyard on for being at the media event. And so everywhere you went, people thought you were staff.
They were asking me, what's the height restriction for this? I was politely walking around like one of them ambassadors, and I think when we're in the queue for Icon, the penny dropped at that point because these kids were coming. We're in the queue for Icon, and you're in the queue for Enzo, and I was in the Speedy Pass queue. So we were waiting to go on the same train together, and these people kept on coming in. And these people, am I tall enough? And I sat there going, I'm not sure why you're out. They're all very friendly in Blackpool. Everyone's chatting to me as if, asking me, should I go on this ride? And I'm just sitting there going, I think so. Right next to the height restriction thing. And I should point out, by the way, that all of them were very much over the But then, I suddenly realised that if I kept this tie on, everywhere I go, everyone thinks I'm a member of staff. So
I think you could have walked us onto anything at the exit.
You could have got us in the Funshine Club, everything.
That was quite good. But basically, I just walked around like your carers, basically. Here we've got two VIPs. One has a podcast that everybody loves. The other guy is one who produces the music, but Evictus apparently wasn't his best, according to one guy. and I'm just making sure they have a lovely day.
And didn't we have a lovely day? It was was amazing. I hope if you've listened to that you've got a flavour of the day and what it was like. If you haven't been up to Ride of Victus yet, you really, really need to make the effort to do it. Well, I know that everyone is saying how great it is, but the reason everyone's saying how great it is because it is fantastic. It's a full ride experience. The music obviously enhances it, the styling of the area, and then the just the experience of flying through the air and the views that you get from it. It's unbeatable.
And if you think it's just internet hyperbole of everyone saying how great it is, you know, just bear in mind, in this day and age of social media and you know, content creators and everything else like this, where anyone can start the bandwagon rolling with a negative comment, you know, typed at 3 a.m. while you're sat there in your pants. The fact that actually, because everyone's saying how brilliant it is, it's genuine. Yeah. You know, it is a genuinely brilliant ride. And as you say, in the Pleasure Beach environment, there's just something about that park. I'm like you, Bex. I've been going there ever since I was a kid. My parents took me there as a kid, and I go far too many times a year than my bank account should allow me to. Although this is the first year I've actually bought an annual pass.
Really?
I've finally got an annual pass. But the environment is just, it's one of a kind. You will not find another theme park or an amusement park anywhere in the world that has the atmosphere that the Pleasure Beach has. So, yeah, it's well worth going and checking it out.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, that is the excitement for the Pleasure Beach for this year. Although we have got the new Hot Ice show, obviously starting in July, Hot Ice 90th anniversary special. Yeah. And there's a new matinee show as well, the Alice in Wonderland themed show, which I know you've done the music for both. So I'm sure we will chat about that on a future episode. But yeah. Do make the effort to get up to Blackpool this year and go and ride it. It is quite the experience. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so whenever I release a new episode, you will get a notification about that. And if you'd like to leave a review, if we've tickled your fancy today with our chat, please do that. Let us know what you think. It's always really good to hear from you. And if you came and said hello on the launch day, thank you very much. I always really appreciate hearing your feedback on the podcast. It really does mean a lot.
I don't enjoy hearing any feedback. Back as long as it's good.
Oh yeah, if you see Glenn on the park, don't tell him that you prefer
if
Icon.
Anything but good, just don't come anywhere near me. I'm very thin skinned.
That's it for this week. Next week I'm going to be joined by Creeley theme park down in Devon, home to Sooty Land, Glenn. Woo-hoo! Which I know you're a big fan of sweep.
Why can't they call it Sweep Land?
Well,
get more people in. Can I submit a question for
sweep or
for the park. Carers. Yes.
Yeah, go on then.
What's sweep like in real life? That's all I need to know.
I will ask the question.
And if it's a diva or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Probably a recovering alcoholic.
Right, that
and
is.
Now you have to, for your entire international audience, that we're going to watch sweep.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that, well, we'll get into that on next week's episode. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.